To turn in your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 3 to 14 today. Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, and then we'll pick up there and finish the chapter on Sunday. So if you want to hear the end of the story, you got to come back on Sunday. It's Friday now, bud. Sunday's coming, right? Sunday's coming. So come back, and let's go to God and just ask for his help as we look at his word right now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's true, and I pray that you would speak to us right now through your word. I pray that you would tune our hearts to sing your praise right now as we think about how we can praise you, why we should praise you. And we thank you that you've given us so many reasons to praise you. We thank you especially for your son, Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray right now, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Every day, it seems like there's another story about the world getting worse, right? The world just keeps getting worse. I was looking at the news feed today, another bombing in Ukraine, and it just seems so disheartening and overwhelming. And it's not just what's happening in Ukraine. There's, you know, disease around the world. The economy is not going well. There's pollution that seems to, make our land dirty and water and air, and it doesn't seem to be getting better, does it? It seems to be getting worse. There's just a breakdown in the culture in general. I'm sure you've noticed it. You read about the shooting in the New York subway system. Just like the culture's breaking down, and somehow we're failing people and not taking care of people the way we ought to, or somehow, I don't know what's going on, but it just doesn't feel safe, and it just feels just so disheartening. And not just globally and in our country, but in our own personal lives, oftentimes it feels like things aren't really getting better, right? With health problems, relationship problems, and sometimes spiritual issues. I don't know if you've ever said to yourself, "I won't commit that sin again." Have you ever done that? I'm gonna reform here. I'm gonna get things together. I'm going to get my stuff together and do better, and then you do it again. Am I the only one here? Can I get a witness? And or sometimes you remember that a sin from your past. You ever feel plagued by a sin from your past, or it's like it just gets you and you remember it, and it weighs heavy on your heart, and you think, I'm really going to mess this whole thing up, you know? I'm sort of beyond God's reach here. Things aren't really getting better. They're getting worse. What we see in the scripture, that this sense that things are getting worse, it's a real thing. Things are, in a way, getting worse. In a way, it's always been bad since we left the garden, but it's a downward trajectory in general. And the reason for that we see in the scripture is sin, that there is chaos and brokenness and disorder in the world because of sin, and in our own lives because of our rebellion against God. But the other thing that we see in the scripture that's also true and is good news today that I want you to hear today is that God is working in the midst of the chaos, in the middle of the chaos, and he's redeeming a people for himself. He is doing that work, and eventually he's going to restore all of creation under Jesus, unite everything under him. That God is going to carry out his plan that he started, and he's not going to stop. He's not going to give up, and it depends on him. It doesn't depend on me. Praise God. It depends on him. The scripture text that we're going to look at today, Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, is about how God is carrying out his plan of salvation, and the way that it's like a prayer of praise. It starts off in verse 3, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And Paul the Apostle is praising God, and he's giving us a bunch of reasons to praise God throughout this passage. And it's especially about how God is carrying out his plan. And before I read the passage, I want to just point out a little bit of how it's organized so that you can pick up on some things as I read it. the first thing I want to show you about the way it's organized is, you know, God, our God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And in this prayer, there's a focus in the beginning part on the Father. If you look at verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. So there's a focus on the Father. And then when you get down to verse 6, God lavished on us grace, and it says, in the Beloved One. The Beloved One is Jesus, the Son. And so the middle part of this prayer of praise is focusing on Jesus. And then if you go down to verse 13, in Him, in Jesus, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So there's a focus in this last part on the Spirit. Okay, isn't that pretty cool? I mean, and of course, God is unified, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are at work throughout all of our salvation and throughout this whole prayer that we're going to read, but there's kind of a shift in focus from Father to Son and to Spirit, and you see repeated also, kind of ending each section, Paul says, to the praise of His glory, over and over. So if you look at verse 6, the end of the section about the Father, to the praise of His glorious grace, and then you look down at verse 12, we might bring praise to His glory, and then the very last part of it at the end of verse 14, to the praise of His glory. So we're going to give God praise for what the Father's done for us, what the Son has done for us, and what the Spirit has done for us. So now let me just read it, and then we'll talk about those things. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before Him. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He lavished on us in the Beloved One. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace that He richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure that He purposed in Christ, as a plan for the right time, to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth, in Him. In Him we also have received an inheritance, because we were predestined according to the plan of the One who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of His will, so that we, who had already put our hope in Christ, might bring praise to His glory. In Him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. This is God's word. So first I want to talk about the blessings that we receive from the Father. And you can see that it says in verse 3 that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And when He says spiritual blessings, He means blessings that come from the Spirit of God. You remember when we were talking about the Sermon on the Mount, that there are certain blessings that God gives everybody. You know, we can call those like creation blessings. He gives the rain to everybody. He gives food to everybody. All kinds of people have babies. All kinds of people get married. You know, those are creation blessings. But He gives special redemption blessings to the people that believe in His Son, Jesus. And this hymn of praise right here is about these special redemption blessings, spiritual blessings that come from God's Holy Spirit to us, to those who have believed in Him. And the first one is that He chose us. He chose us in Him. And it says, before the foundation of the world, before time began, God had a plan to save His people, and if you're a believer in Jesus today, He chose you. Isn't that good news? He chose you. And that doesn't mean He hates the other people, but He's specially chosen you to be, what it says here, holy and blameless before Him. So He chose you, and He's given you a purpose that at the end of time, we're going to stand before God, and we're going to be holy and blameless. We're going to be free from sin. Isn't that good to hear? We're going to be free from sin. And the next blessing from the Father is that He predestined us. So that means He has a plan, and he's carrying out his plan. He's gonna do what he's decided he's gonna do. So he's chosen you, and he's predestined you to be adopted. You're adopted into God's family. And so you have every right to inherit what he gives you. You have all the rights of being in his family. You're a brother or a sister to Jesus. You sit at his table. When you're a believer in Christ, you're adopted into Jesus' family. That's his plan, and he's carrying out of his plan. Isn't it good to know that God is carrying out his plan, right? It doesn't depend on me. It depends on God. God the Father is carrying out his plan. He's going to do it. And isn't it good to know that you are at the center of his plan, that he's chosen you to be holy and blameless and to be part of his family? And now let's move on to talk about the blessings that come to us through the Son. And the first one that we see in verse 7, in him we have redemption. Redemption, that term refers to when a slave is set free because somebody paid the price for that slave to be set free. And our redemption, as we're going to see later, has two stages. The first stage takes place at the cross, beginning at the cross, and it's effectual for us when we believe. And the second stage takes place when Jesus comes back. And this first stage of our redemption means that we're set free from the penalty of sin, that we don't have to pay the price for that sin, and we're set free from the power of sin. Sin doesn't have power over us anymore, okay? And that happens because in redemption there has to be a payment, right? You have to pay to set the slave free. And the payment here is, it says, Jesus' blood. Jesus paid the payment to set us free from sin. And that payment wasn't to Satan, okay? That payment was to God. You know, God receives Jesus' blood, and he says, paid in full, these people are set free from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. And then Paul keeps on going, and the next blessing that comes through us through Jesus is forgiveness of our sins. So the punishment that we deserve, it's canceled forever, permanently canceled. I remember one time when I had a debt, I had wrecked a guy's car, and I was serving as a missionary. And I don't know if you know what kind of money missionaries make. It's not a lot. And I got a letter in the mail one time because I sent some payments, you know, to the guy's dad. The car belonged to the guy's dad. I wrecked the guy's dad's car. And I started sending money. And I got a letter in the mail. The guy said, forget about it. Canceled. Paid in full. Or, you know, we'll take care of this. Don't worry about paying it. Isn't that good to hear? You know, that we don't have to pay the penalty. Don't have to pay the penalty. Jesus paid the penalty for us, for our sins, through his death, so we can be free of that. Okay? And the next blessing that comes to us through the Son is that God, in verse 9, it says, made known to us the mystery of his will. And when it talks in the scripture about a mystery, it's God's plan that was hidden. It wasn't understood before, but when Jesus came and he died and rose again, thung, it's like, now we get it. Now we understand what God's plan was. It was a mystery before, and now it's revealed. The mystery is revealed. And here's what the mystery is. The mystery is that God is going to redeem all of creation, and especially his people, from sin, and he's going to bring everything together under the lordship of Jesus. And especially what that means is he's going to bring Jews and Gentiles together in one body under Jesus. That's the mystery. Paul's going to talk about this in the next chapter. We're not going to talk about it now. But Jews and Gentiles are in one body under Jesus in the church. They belong to Jesus' body together. They're united in him. And that's revealed. And God's revealed this plan. And he's going to bring everything under him. And he's carrying out his plan. And then in verse 11, my translation says, we have received an inheritance, but I think a better translation is we are an inheritance, okay? The verb here, the Greek verb, is apportioned. The word inheritance isn't in that verb. It's like we were apportioned, and they're trying to figure out what is he talking about, and is saying we are apportioned an inheritance. I think it's better to say we are apportioned as an inheritance. Now, it's true that we receive an inheritance from God, but in this context, what Paul is talking about is you become God's possession, his inheritance, his heritage. God has decided it's like God says, you know what I want? I want those people. I want my church. I want Jesus' church to be mine, to belong to me. They are my possession. They are my heritage. They belong to me. And so you are his inheritance because you're predestined according to the plan of the one who works everything with the purpose of his will. Okay? Isn't this good to hear? That you belong to God now. Okay? Isn't it good to know that in spite of our sins, God has redeemed us through Jesus? He's forgiven us because Jesus paid for our sins, and he's made us his own. He's made us his own. We belong to him. Okay? And now let's talk about the blessings that come to us in the Spirit. If you look at verse 13, in him you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And you know what a seal is? It's like you have a letter and you put wax on it and you stamp the seal, okay? And or another image of a seal is not the animal, the seal. Somehow that popped into my head, which is not true. Okay, a seal, like my father had this like notary seal, notary public. Have you seen those things? You squeeze it on a piece of paper and it seals. It makes a seal. But he didn't just have one for the notary public. He had another one that said, this book belongs to Kent Therrell. So that if he lent you a book, he wanted it back, because he loved his books. Okay? So he would seal it. And that seal was a mark of ownership, that book belonged to him. Okay? And what this is saying is the Holy Spirit seals us that we belong to God. We're marked. Or, like you brand a calf, the hot branding iron. That calf belongs to such and such a ranch. You belong to the JC Ranch, the Jesus Christ Ranch. You belong to Jesus. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He's given you his Holy Spirit to show that you belong to him. You are his possession. You're his heritage, okay? And it says that the Holy Spirit is also the down payment of your salvation. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance. So we're an inheritance, but we also get an inheritance. And it's the down payment, and when you buy a car, you go and you check it out, and you tell the guy, yeah, I want to buy it, and he's like, okay, I need some money to hold it here and not sell it to somebody else. And so you pay him your money, and then you go and you find somebody to come another day to pick up the car with you after they fix this or that on it, if it's a used car, which, it would be for me. Okay, so the down payment means I promise that I'm going to pay the rest later. I promise you, I'm not going to give you all the money now, but I promise you that I'm going to finish paying for this. And when God gives us his Holy Spirit, the presence of God in our lives right now, it's a promise that he is going to finish what he started, and that when Jesus comes back, we're going to have him completely, and we're going to be his, and he's going to finish everything that he started, and it says we have the Holy Spirit now until the redemption of the possession. So this is stage two of redemption, that when Jesus comes back, now we're set free from the presence of sin when Jesus comes back. Isn't that good? No more sin in our lives. No more sadness, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. Satan is cast into the eternal fire. There's nothing bothering us anymore. Everything's good. And we're not even tempted by sin anymore. I know that we're set free from the power of the sin, but we still face our temptations and we still mess up every now and then, don't we? Or a lot. I should say a lot. When he comes back, we're going to be redeemed even from the presence of sin. This is so good. To the praise of his glory. Okay. Isn't it good to know that God has guaranteed that he'll finish what he started in us? Isn't that good? That's good news. Okay, now the last thing I want to mention from this is that I started with the praise part, to the praise of his glory. You see that in verse 6? The Father did these things for us. He chose us to be his, you know, so that we could, to the praise of his glorious grace. He has predestined us to belong to him so that we would praise him. So that we would praise. That's what he wants from us, is that we would praise him. And we have every reason to, because of all these blessings he's given us. And then in verse 12, we who had already put our hope in Christ might bring praise to his glory. You know, he's carrying out his plan. He's working his will in us, making us his own, so that we would bring praise to his glory. We would praise him. That's what God wants. He wants a people who will praise him. He wants his body, the church, to praise him. And then the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of his possession to the praise of his glory. On that day when Jesus comes back, we're going to be praising him. We're going to be praising his glory. God saved us so that we could praise him. That's why God did it. He saved us so that we could praise him. God is saving us right now. He's in the process of saving us so that we'll praise him. And we have every reason to praise him right now. When Jesus comes back, God will save us even from the presence of sin so we can praise him. We've got every reason to praise him. You're saved so that you can praise him. So let's praise him now. And let me pray, and then we'll move on to the next thing. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this good news, and I pray that your people here today would be encouraged by it. Thank you that you've given us every reason to praise you, and I pray that we would praise you like we ought to. And we ask that you would be pleased by our worship, pleased by our hearts, pleased by our response to you right now. We give you ourselves anew, afresh right now, and we thank you what you're doing in us. We praise you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.